The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to the 4 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Today is April 25th, and this has been a very, very special day for Joy and I for 57 years. Yeah, we call it our love day. We celebrate all kinds of things. Yeah, we are still madly in love after 54 years. We have all kinds of days that we celebrate. January 3rd is one. That's the day that we got engaged when I asked Joy to marry me. That was January 3rd. A lot of different days. March 12th is when we moved to Columbus from Wichita, Kansas, to start a brand new church. But of all the dates, there are two that rise right to the top. December 21st, that's the day we got married 54 years ago. And then there's April 25th. And I would imagine some of you would think, oh, that's silly. Go ahead. But it's not silly to us. April 25th is the day 57 years ago, 1967, that I first told Joy Forgan, which was her maiden name, that I loved her. We both went to Bob Jones University, and most of you know how conservative Bob Jones is. It's not quite as conservative today as it was back then. Back then, oh my goodness. And part of the ritual, part of the routine, after evening dinner, everyone had dinner in the dining common. Dining common would seat over 3,000 people. It was larger than a football field. Quite a place. A sit-down served dinner, and we ate in 22 minutes. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, after dinner was over, the guys could escort the girls down what was called the date line, and you could walk them to their dormitory. Now, that was really important because after 6 o'clock, the boys and the girls couldn't talk. Really? Yeah. Couldn't talk. And, of course, going down the date line, you couldn't touch. You couldn't hold hands. I mean, after all, this was Bob Jones University. And the students called it the snail trail because you walked as slow as you could from the dining common down to the girls' dormitories. You walked very, very slow. Well, we had some of our deepest conversations on the snail trail in the evening. We had started dating quite some time before that, and we really had strong feelings for each other. But we wanted to make sure. We really wanted to make sure that our relationship, number one, would honor God and that God had called us together. And I won't go through all the details, but we liked each other, and then we loked each other. You see, loke, L-O-K-E, is halfway between L-I-K-E and L-O-V-E. And you get, are you kidding me? It wasn't silly to us. And so on April 25th, walking Joy to her dormitory, I said, you know what? I think the K, remember we went from like to loke, halfway to love. And walking her home that night, I knew that she was God's woman for me. I knew that. And I knew that I loved her. And so I turned to her and said, you know what? I think the K has changed to V. And I just want you to know, I love you. Oh, my goodness. We floated down to her dormitory, and I went to my dormitory. Anyway, that was April 25th, the first time I told her that I loved her. And for 57 years, our love has grown and deepened. Oh, yeah, we've been through tough times. Oh, yes, we've been through some deep, deep, dark valleys. Oh, my goodness, our marriage at times has been strained to the very limit. But our love for God and our love for each other has gotten us through all of those times. So anyway, and then the other thing that happened on April 25th, Joy and I moved from Wichita, Kansas, where we were working in a church in youth ministry. We moved to Columbus on March 12th, pulled into Westerville with a U-Haul truck and all of our earthly possessions on a very small truck, by the way. And then we knew that God wanted us to give birth to a brand new church here in the Columbus area, and we believed it would probably be Westerville. And we began looking around for a place to meet, and we checked on schools, we checked on all kinds of places, and we finally found what was then the Blendon Grange Hall. It's out on East College in Westerville. It is now the VFW in Westerville. But then it was the Blendon Grange Hall, and we made arrangements to rent that on Sundays to begin a brand new church. And on April 25th, 1976, we had the very first service of Calvary Bible Baptist Church of Westerville. So that was a labor of love. And we always thought that God just worked it out, that our love day would be associated not only with our love for each other, but our love for God and the community and beginning a brand new church. And we personally knocked on about 1,700 doors, went door to door inviting people to that very first service, put an ad in the newspaper, we printed up brochures and, you know, whatever. And we had, you know, today, if you start a church, you have a team. You know, there's a sending church and you have 10, 15, 20 people, and you got a congregation of 20 or 30 from the very first service, and you got your music person and your pastor and you got your youth. Back then, nobody had ever heard of a team concept. Now, it was just Joy and I. That was it. And we had no idea whether anybody would come or not. Well, we did know that Joy's parents would be there, and they were. April 25th, 1976, we went over to the Blendon Grange. We set up all the chairs much, much, much earlier than we needed to, and we prayed, and we paced, and we prayed, and we paced, and we looked out the window to see if anybody would come into the parking lot, and it was raining. And the first car pulled into the parking lot, and Joy's dad, thinking they might get away, you know, looking around, new church, and he goes out with an umbrella, knocks on their window and says, I'll help you in, I'll hold the and anyway, we had 15 people total on that Sunday morning. Then we had evening service that night. We had 17. Yeah, we grew by two by Sunday evening, and that was 48 years ago. On this day, 48 years ago, God gave us such a wonderful ministry there. For 25 years, before we began Cross Power Ministries, and so grateful that that church continues. Not only is it continuing, it's really growing, expanding, and that just thrills us that the ministry that God gave us the privilege of beginning has continued and is growing and expanding. So, April 25th is a very, very important day for Joy and I. So, if Joy is listening, and she usually is, hey, babe, I love you more now than 47 years ago. It's our love day.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
Did you read the stories or hear the stories about how the Israeli IDF, their defense forces, the Israeli army, dug a mass grave outside of the biggest hospital in Gaza and buried maybe hundreds of people in a mass grave, just dug it with a bulldozer and dumped bodies in and covered it up? That's what those Jews did. Did you read that? Did you hear that? I did. Some of you are saying, well, Bob, you didn't report that on the air. No, I didn't, because I didn't believe it. Why didn't I believe it? Because it was a news release from Hamas and Al Jazeera. And I have told you over and over again, you cannot trust anything that Hamas says. You can't. And again, I hate to beleaguer this point, but with radical Islam, lying is not just okay, it is commendable. It's good to lie with radical Islam. And of course, Hamas is about as radical as you can get. So anyway, I knew it wasn't true, but almost all of the American media reported it. Mass grave discovered in Gaza, right next to a hospital. Israeli troops, by, you know, it was in all of the major American news media. And not only that, the United Nations Human Rights Chief Volker Turk said he was horrified by the reports and demanded an independent, effective, and transparent investigation. Well, that's exactly what happened. An independent, effective, and transparent investigation. And it was discovered it was all a lie. Oh, no, no, there was a mass grave dug, but it was dug before the Israeli troops approached the hospital. How do we know that? Satellite images. Let's see. I could get into all the dates. I don't think that's really that important. Okay. According to independent accounts from satellite footage, the mass graves were dug between January 25th and February 3rd. The IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, did not enter the hospital until after February 15th. So, it was impossible for these mass graves to have been dug by Israeli troops. They were dug by Palestinians. Now, what was the purpose of the mass graves? We don't know. There were a whole lot of people that were buried there, but we don't know any of the details. All we know is Hamas lied. And just like the world's media, including the U.S. media, believes everything Hamas says, 30,000 innocent civilians killed. Well, we know now that is not true either. Now, there have been a lot of innocent civilians killed in Gaza. There is no doubt about that. Because Hamas does everything they possibly can to put innocent civilians in the line of fire so that they can count, for publicity reasons, how many innocent people were killed. Now, it's going to be very interesting to see if the UN Human Rights Chief Volker Türk issues an apology. Don't hold your breath. Now, mass graves are horrible things. I'll never forget when I was in Nigeria several years ago, we visited a church that had been burned to the ground with several hundred Christians inside. They were slaughtered with swords and machetes inside the church, and then the church was burned down on top of them. A few days later, the Nigerian military showed up, and the only thing they could do was they brought in bulldozers. They dug a big hole and pushed all of those charred bodies into the hole. When we were there 18 months after it had occurred, they had no idea the names of those people. They could guess because of the people that were missing. They didn't even know how many. And there was a single cross, and it simply said, mass grave. Horrific thing. But folks, just a reminder. I mean, just a reminder that you cannot believe anything that you hear from Hamas, Al Jazeera, and there's very little that you can believe from the American news media because their source is Hamas. And Hamas lies. The mainstream American media takes it, repeats it, regurgitates it as if it was fact. And it often, in fact, usually is not. But if you read that story about the mass grave outside of the Nasser Hospital, what Hamas reported was not true. There was a mass grave, but it was impossible that Israel did it.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.